Welcome to Take 10 for Torah. Today is Tisha B'Av. I didn't say hi and welcome to Take 10 for Torah because today is the ninth day of Av. We know She'elas Shalom, greetings are forbidden to a mourner. And on the day of Tisha B'Av, we are all mourners. And in that light, whether or not you hear this class in the morning or the afternoon, I wanted to make sure it's something we can talk about at Tisha B'Av. You're not supposed to be learning all subjects on Tisha B'Av. And we know that the laws and the day of Tisha B'Av is somewhat different than other days of the year. We know that there are the Chamisha Inuyim, there are five things we're not allowed to do, but also there are a bunch of other things that switch up that we don't generally have on other fast days, like Yom Kippur, like sitting on the floor, and for whatever reason sitting on the floor as of Chatzot in the middle of the day, that ends. The custom of not going to work is seen as much more serious. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "Makom shenagu lasos malacha b'tisha b'av osin, b'makom shenagu shlo lasos ein osin." There are different customs about whether or not to work or not to work on Tisha B'Av. The Rama says, "Lo nahagu b'isim malacha ki im ad chatzos." The whole problem is only until chatzos, but after chatzos, you would be allowed to. We know that you don't put on tefillin in the morning, and you don't put on a talis in the morning, but by mincha you do, because again, that's also in the afternoon. And so we also say nachem, at least Ashkenazim only say nachem, the consoling prayer for Yerushalayim, in the afternoon and not in the morning. We have this interesting tension where it seems to be a terrible day and somehow it picks up towards the end of the day. Now, that's even more difficult to understand, being as the Gemara says that the fire is started at the afternoon, which goes into the 10th, which is why our customs of mourning, like laundry and meat and wine, continue after the night of Tisha B'Av into the next day. But that's something which I don't know if we're going to get to, right? Because it gets worse as Tisha B'Av goes on, and yet the mourning practices get better. What's this all about? So the Shulchan Aruch says that one of the other things we don't do, and this is very strange, is we don't say Tachnun. Tachnun, we know, is a desperation tefillah. It's a tefillah when you have nothing left. And we don't say it on Tisha B'Av. We don't fall on our faces to say Tachnun, Mishum Demikri Moed, because the day of Tisha B'Av is considered to be a holiday. Moed means like an appointed time. Usually, colloquially, we use that word to refer to a Moed. Good Moed, Moed Tov. You know, Moed refers to a good, positive holiday in like a happy sort of way. And where do we get that idea? Why would we not say Tachlon on such a severe and serious day like Tisha B'Av? So this comes from a pasuk in Megillas Eicha. It says, Sila Kol Abirai, Adonai bikirbi kara alai moed lishbar bacharai gas derech Adonai levesulas bas Yehuda. And so it says specifically in the middle of the pasuk, kara alai moed lishbar bacharai, he proclaimed a moed against me, referring to God. There was a moed, a set time proclaimed against me to crush my young men, lishbar bacharai. So kara alai moed is the phrase in the Megillah of Eicha that teaches us that this day is somehow considered a moed. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the meal that we have the day before Tisha B'Av. He says, "V'nogan laharbas k'tzas b'suda rishona k'dei shlo yazik lehematinus." You should have a big meal and then have a suda mavsekas, which is really just bread and ash. And the reason we do this is holo poskim bod yom k'mo b'yom kippurim. We should have a big meal. Why? Because the big meal is necessary so that we're full coming into Tisha B'Av because we're going to be fasting. Magen Avraham says, he says, "V'linir etam acher." I think there's another reason. "V'nei shebizman bayis sheni." Haya Yom Tov Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av used to be a holiday, but Haya Marbin B'Suuda. Af Achshav Lo Zaza Mimenu Lios Lizikaron Sheyahapich Meher B'Yamenu L'Sasanu L'Simchan. So the reason we have a festive meal on the day before Tisha B'Av, the Magen Avraham says, is to remember that indeed Tisha B'Av was a holiday. What's he talking about? So he's talking about the fact that the Navi, when presenting these four fasts, and we talked about this early last week, the Navi says that Kamar Hashem Mitzvot Tzom Revi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months, Yul Beis Yehuda L'Sason U'L'Simcha, these fasts should be for days of celebration, U'Lem Mo'adim Tovim, and they should be for festive days, V'Ho'emes V'Hashalom Avo, and they should love truth and peace, etc. But we talked about how, depending on the era, these could be days which remark on and memorialize our tragedy, but at the same time, those days could be days of festivity when those tragedies have healed. And so, when the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, let's say during Bayis Sheni, so these fasts arguably should have been days of celebration. And so the Magen Avraham is suggesting that because they were days of celebration, that's the Moed element. They have Moed potential within them, and therefore we celebrate. And so we can't eat now a festive meal on Tisha B'Av because you can't eat on Tisha B'Av. So we have that festive meal, he suggests, before. It's not just to fill us up, but it's because of something else. The Aruch HaShulchan brings another idea. He says, the reason that we don't have Tachanun, the reason we treat it as if it's like a holiday when it comes to the liturgy, is L'simen ki anu muvtachem b'Hashem Yisparach she'od yishapchu hayamim ho'ele l'moadim l'simcha v'yamim tovim. He says, it's a measure of our faith. The fact that we don't say Tachanun, and we don't do some of these things, which, because, we're too happy to do them, is because we have faith that in this deeply tragic day, it will yet turn into a simcha. So he's not referring to the meal before, but he's referring to the fact that we don't say tachanun, and we call it a moed. It's not that it is a moed, but it can be a moed, and that's the faith that we have to remember, and that's what we have to take with us through the day of Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Taina says, Kalam Sabal Yerushalayim Zocha V'Ro B'Simchasa, one who mourns will merit to see the joy. And V'Sheina Misabal Yerushalayim, one who does not mourn, Ein Ro B'Simchasa, will not merit to see the joy. What's that all about? Why do we have this all tied together, the mourning and the simcha? So we know that famous idea from Yaakov. Yaakov loses his son Yosef, and he thinks he's dead. Vayimain lehisnachem, it says in Bereishis. He refuses to be consoled. And so the Medrash Rabba says, how could it be that he refuses to be consoled? A particular matron asks Rabbi Yossi, doesn't make sense. And he responds to her, he says, you can't get nechama for somebody who's still alive. You can only have nechama, you can only have consolation for somebody who's completely passed from the world. Rashi there says, you can't be mekabel tanchumin al hachai b'saber shemes. Unless the person is actually passed from this world, you cannot get tanchumin. And so the idea of continuing to mourn, that if somebody mourns, they yet see the celebration, they'll see the simcha, is that it's the fact that you are mourning which allows you to realize that I still believe, I still think that it's alive. The fact that we could still mourn, there's something living to me. There's something still there. And because there's something still there, I can't be consoled. And that's why, for such a person, they will, in present tense, zocha v'roa b'simchasa, they will find the joy, the moed, and the festivity in what Tisha B'Av and the hope that it lends. The Gemara Makos, the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, he makes this point to the Zakenim. I've talked about this story before, but he makes the point to the Zakenim. He says, listen, if we've seen the destruction and those prophecies have come true, so we also see the hope involved in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, O Yeshu Zakenim, Zakenos, Beruchovos Yerushalayim, we will yet see Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim and all of Klai Yisrael resettled in their land. And so with the terror, with the difficulty, the fact that we can suffer so much and still appreciate it and appreciate it as a current loss, within that is the hope for the future, which is why we have the meal, which is why we don't say Tachlon, which is how and why we can understand this as a moed. The Medrash Hanecha goes further. It says that Mashiach, there's this idea that Mashiach was born in the destruction. At the same time, the story goes that of a man plowing, an Arab passes by, and he says, what are you? And the guy says, I'm a Jew. And he says, unharness your ox and untie your plow as a mark of mourning. And he says, why should I? He says, because the temple was destroyed. How do you know this? How do you know this? The Jew asks the Arab. He says, I know it from what your ox is saying. And the ox said another thing. And he said, what did he say? He said that Mashiach was born. Mashiach is named the Menachem. Mashiach is the consoler. And so within the tragedy, from the fire, comes the ability to rebuild. That was Matasiyahu lyrics or something like that. But okay, fine. So there's another idea though that I want to share with you about why it is that we might rejoice. It's not just that in the destruction there is hope. It's not just that the fact that we still remember means that we are still pining for it. And that is also a joyous idea because, you know, in our pining, we realize how remarkable it is what we lost and how hopefully close it is to get it back. But there's another very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, Mizmar la'asaf, this is Tehillim Ayin Tes, Mizmar la'asaf Elokim ba'u goyim b'nach l'secha. It's a song for Asaf, the conductor, and it says, God, ba'u goyim b'nach l'secha. The Gentiles came and they destroyed your inheritance, meaning they destroyed Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. It should be Bechi la'asaf. It should be crying. It shouldn't be a Mizmar. So the Gemara goes on to say, It's like a king who gets upset at his son and is going to get married, and there's something, a big party he was going to make, and then he destroys everything because he's so mad at his son. And the pedagogue of the son, the mentor of the son, dances around and he's yelling and he's singing. He's so joyous. And the king says, "Why are you so joyous? I just destroyed my son's whole the situation over here." He says, "Because you took out your fury on the Eitzim Va'avanim. You took out your fury on the physical things, but not out on your son itself. You always left room for your son to come back, to rebuild the relationship, to reconnect and to bond once again." And so it's a Mizmor La'asaf, that in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we remember the fact that we are still here, and we hopefully will ride the waves of that hope to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and be a people who are strong and secure yet again.